The Talk of the Northwest, The Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio.
Hello and a very good morning to you. You're very welcome along to Tuesday's Greg Hughes Show here. 4 minutes past nine on this Tuesday, the 14th of July, 2026. Thanks to Donna Marie Doherty, who sat in for me yesterday. But it is good to be back and back to a bright and sunny northwest. We're going to be talking about, I suppose, in a way, the beauty of our beautiful county, because lots of people have been in touch with us in relation to a misuse of the most scenic and beautiful parts of this county. There's been an awful lot of conversation about hordes of people, it has to be said, arriving into towns and to beaches across the county. Downings, not least Downings. I know there was an awful lot of upset locally in Downings, not just amongst residents, but also business owners, because thousands, I think it has to be thousands, at least in the high hundreds of young people descended on the town, most without accommodation, it would seem, with a view to sleeping in the cars, messing on the beach and all that stuff. And it's had a huge impact, obviously, on the condition of the beach. It's also had a huge impact on business, I'm sure. There are going to be some businesses that do well, others that perhaps, you know, the high value spending customers, the holidaymakers, avoided the place. That's inevitable. It's going to be inevitable. And also, too, there's reputational damage. So we're going to open it up, obviously. We're not talking about one specific area. That's where we've got most of the calls from. But, I mean, what is the situation where you are listening across the Northwest and the abuse, misuse of facilities, public facilities? And maybe you think, do you, that the Gardaí should be doing more? Maybe you think the council should be doing more? Because there is a point where an area gets a reputation. And I'm not going to talk about any specific areas right now, but I know there are areas of this county that would got a reputation of being a great place to go for the crack, but there was a lot of unruly behaviour. And it had a more longer term, medium to long term effect then on other types of tourism, right? So you've got tourists coming from all over the country, from overseas and what have you, and they're coming in saying, well, is this it? Spring break? Donegal spring break? Summer break? Is that the way it's going to be? I don't know. But anyway, if you want to get involved in that conversation about wherever you're listening, 086 60 25,000, or maybe you think that there's no great harm in it, that people are just living their best lives and we were all young once and live and let live and all that type of stuff. As I say, I'm throwing it out there. It's not a pile on young people or any group of individuals, but it is something, and we have this platform here, don't we, this show on this radio station, which holds a mirror up to the lives that we live and what we have to go through. So we have to talk about these things. It'd be remiss of us not to. That's coming up. Let's have a quick run through, though, some of the newspapers. We'll start with the Irish Independent. Now, we've seen two overnight water restrictions in Donegal so far. That's likely to be extended. We have quite a vulnerable system, it would imagine, or you can imagine that it doesn't have to be dry for very long before there is more demand on treated water than there is treated water. And as I say, we've already seen overnight restrictions last night. We're awaiting an update on Irish Water to see what the lay of the land is going forward. I know people in Rafoe and Convoy were reporting to me that they had no water yesterday, but there was no overnight restrictions, so I don't know what's going on there. So we want to try and find that out. But now we're seeing a situation whereby Uisce Éireann is going to introduce a hotline, effectively, where you can report your neighbour. And I'm curious if you would report your neighbour for the misuse of water. Now, this is where hose pipe bans are in situ. Now, what we're going to see, obviously, is hosepipe bans, because this weather is going to stay like this for at least another 10 days. We're going to see hosepipe bans, or water restrictions, right? They call it hosepipe bans because that's what the British used to call them, but it's water restrictions. So we're going to see more and more of that. So you could find yourself being encouraged to, I was going to say rat, it's not really that, is it? To report your neighbour. So let's read on. Homeowners will be able to report neighbours or anyone they see breaking a hosepipe ban as a water conservation order comes into force on Thursday for six counties for 6 weeks. Now, as I say, Donegal not included in this at this point. Uisce Éireann has confirmed that the order will be in place for Dublin and South Tipperary, as well as parts of Kildare, Meath, Wexford and Wicklow until the end of Wednesday, August
26. The order bans hose pipes for watering gardens, cleaning cars and filling paddling pools, and is being introduced to safeguard public water supplies for essential purposes following a period of exceptionally warm and dry weather. Breaching the order can lead to penalties, with offences carrying fines of up to €5,000. Now, this is part of the reason why they wanted meters. And I'm not saying this to bat for meters, but you could tell if someone was abusing or misusing the water. I think we all know, too, 40%, 45% of treated water is lost through leaks. So the biggest offender for water waste is arguably Erin. But anyway, homeowners can report neighbours or anyone they see breaking the hose pipe ban by calling Ishka Erin's customer care team. So would you do that? I mean, water is a commodity and it's incredibly important. And if someone next door was filling a massive swimming pool, I don't know, what would you do? Right, the Irish Times, and you heard some reporting of this on our news this morning. The majority of parents say covering back-to-school costs is a financial burden for them, with more than one in four getting into debt. So this is a time where you would hope, you know, the kids are off school, the weather's good. You would hope that people maybe were able to just drop their shoulders a little bit and breathe a bit more easy. But we also know that the back-to-school's coming, the uniforms, especially when there's a little bit of a cartel going on where you're almost forced to buy an expensive uniform rather than being able to buy generic ones, all of that. I know there's some help in terms of books, but there is still an awful lot of costs being put on parents. So the annual back-to-school survey by the Irish League of Credit Unions took the view of 752 parents across the country in June, with respondents nationally represented by age, gender, region and socioeconomic status. Some 59% of them reported back-to-school costs as a financial burden, while 27% of them were getting into debt to cover the costs. The percentage of those getting into debt was down 6% compared to the survey findings last year, but the average amount of debt was up €54 to €400. So maybe, and it's a tough one because I'm probably asking a personal question, and I'm not necessarily even asking for you to speak on air, but maybe if you are a parent and you're looking at the costs, and you could give us maybe, you know, in confidence, a reality check as to what it's like, what bills you're facing, how much out of pocket you're going to be. 086 60 25 000. If you want to WhatsApp that, send it to me on Facebook, or call 074 91 25 000. You know, just to get an on the ground sense of the reality of struggling with back to school costs. Now, I fully understand if that's not something you'd be comfortable with, but perhaps maybe you would be. The Irish Daily Mail reports that the boyfriend of murdered Jamie Carney has been arrested in his native Jordan after a week-long international search following intense diplomatic pressure from the US. Ahmed Al-Sakar, 28, was held by Jordanian police over the weekend, 5 days after he left Ireland following the New York native's killing in Killarney, County Kerry. Garda, Gardaí, Interpol, Europol and Jordanian police, alongside US authorities, had collaborated to track down Mr. Al-Sakar following discussions with the US State Department office, the Irish Daily Mail understands. And despite his detention, legal battles are expected over whether he'll ever set foot in Ireland. The Mail understands that under Jordanian law, he can be held without charge for months. Now, we don't have, as far as I'm aware, an extradition treaty with Jordan, but this person is an American citizen, so the US might be able to leverage Jordan in that regard. I note, too, in Britain at the moment, Britain is threatening sanctions against a country because they won't take back one of their citizens. So there are means and ways to leverage influence and power. This suspect needs to come back and face the investigation and the court if that what the DPP deems to be necessary. But that could just rumble on forever, and Jamie's family are going to have to deal with their grief and their trauma and watch on as the wheels of justice seemingly move incredibly slow. Probably likely to see fuel prices start to creep up again. US oil went up 9% yesterday. And this is because Donald Trump, even though he says that he had obliterated Iran, he had obliterated their boats, he had obliterated their air force, he had them on their knees. Well, apparently not, because Iran, or factions within Iran, are now bombing other Middle Eastern countries. And also ships going through the Strait of Hormuz. This while Trump is bombing them as well, it has to be said. But he's decided to stick a 20% toll on ships going through the Strait. He's offering them protection, which I think is a bold move because, you know, sometimes the most difficult thing to defend against is the least sort of technical stuff, right? So in 26, you would think it's all about AI this and, you know, technology that. But, you know, anyone can stand on the beach effectively on the Iranian side and target quite easily boats in the Strait of Hormuz. We've seen this huge success Ukraine's having against Russia at the moment with really quite basic drones. But they've brought Russia to its knees in terms of fuel and food production with some of the lower technology end of battle. So Trump is going to struggle to contain security in the Strait, no doubt about it. But anyway, Donald Trump has launched a new naval blockade on Iran in the Strait of Hormuz and slapped a 20% toll on ships passing through. The US president then yesterday declared America the guardian of the Hormuz Strait. But I mean, there's a lot of plot holes in that, but at this point, there's probably not much point in even trying to identify these plot holes because he can say whatever he likes. And finally, in the Irish Daily Star, British counter-terrorism police are now leading the Anne Widdecombe murder investigation. Ms. Widdecombe would have been very familiar to many of you, not necessarily because you followed British politics, though many of you do, but obviously she was on reality TV as well and had quite a high profile outside of the world of politics. And she was in her home. She was due to appear on Channel 5 that afternoon when she was found to have died a violent death, and she had been laying there undiscovered for 24 hours. But anyway, the counter-terrorism police took over the probe into the 78-year-old's death after new information and evidence emerged in what has been a dynamic and complex investigation, detectives said. A man quizzed over her murder has been rearrested on suspicion of committing, preparing or instigating acts of terrorism. And quite interestingly, if I'm not mistaken, there's one of these, I think it's the Yorkshire... Oh, I can't remember what you call it. Anyway, it's a guy that goes in, and he goes into regular people's homes, but celebrities as well, an auctioneer, and, you know, any stuff that they don't want or whatever, he values it and blah, 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 blah. It's another form of reality TV, but only a couple of weeks ago, a show aired with Ms. Widdecombe in, and it really in quite detail showed her house, the layout of the house internally and externally as well. And I'm not saying that would have been used in any offence, but it just goes to show you can never be too careful. We've received a lot of content from the Downing's area following a weekend in which there was a swarm of people arrived in Downing's. It's a busy part of the county, but there was an additional layer of people that seemed to arrive, mostly young people, a lot of them driving Northern Registered vehicles. Not that that matters, it's a by the by. They obviously clearly had organised to come to the area, but it caused an awful lot of disquiet. Oliver McBride's joining us, as is Councillor Declan Meehan. Both of you, thank you very much for coming on the programme.
Thank you, Greg.
I suppose as a sort of a resident, Oliver, how would you frame the weekend in Downing's?
I think it was a real disaster, you know, and I think a lot of people sort of left disappointed and disheartened by the events which occurred. We had something similar last year with huge gangs of young people coming down and sleeping in their cars. But I don't think there was the sort of level of victimizing the local residents as what there was over this weekend.
Now, we had a situation where, you know, cars were damaged, bleach was thrown on cars, flower beds ripped up. And the beach was left really like a minefield, but instead of mines, it was glass and rubbish and litter. And regular boundaries that are there were completely ignored. It was treated literally like a massive playground. I don't think I'm exaggerating, am I?
Definitely not. And speaking to people yesterday, I can give you a lot more to that list, which can't be mentioned on the radio at this time in the morning, because there are some very indecent incidents that happened as well.
What, are you talking fornication, people peeing and pooing outside, that type of stuff?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But they'd nowhere to go. So if that activity was to happen, it was going to have to happen outside, wasn't it? Because they were sleeping in cars.
Yeah, and, you know, it has serious health implications for the area as well. Like, you know, and plus all the extra rubbish. Like, we've seen our tidy town here being overwhelmed by the amount of rubbish that's about. Broken glass is seriously just lying everywhere along the roadside and car parks. You know, you couldn't take your youngsters with you anywhere for a walk. You'd be worried about them stepping in something that's going to be dangerous to them, like, you know, hurtful to them.
I would imagine those coming to the area would have felt, to all intents and purposes, that there was no policing of their activity. They seemingly, to an extent, potentially, or maybe to no extent, but they could do whatever they liked. You know, last year you talked of, there was forewarning of an organised event on the beach. A barrier was put up. Well, as it turned out at the weekend, I think it was Sunday before there was any talk of closing the barrier, restricting access. The young people refused to leave the beach, so I think the guards gave up on that. They couldn't find a lock to begin with in Downing's to close it. But even if they had closed it, that was problematic because there was an awful lot of cars on the beach. And as it turns out, ambulance access would have been required. So whatever level of policing there was, and this is not a criticism of the guards, or maybe, I don't know, you can if you wish, I certainly don't want to, but whatever policing there was, then that policing stopped in terms of trying to control what was happening on the beach.
Well, yeah, I think there is a sort of an ignorance happening that and it's been ignored, the fact that, yes, the numbers of tourists coming to the areas around Donegal is increasing all the time. Like, you have Downing's, which goes from a couple of hundred people to maybe up to 10,000, 12,000 people at the weekend. And there's no foreplanning from Donegal County Council or from and the Gardaí in order to combat these issues. And we're sort of... The guards that's there are put in an impossible situation because there's not enough of them to deal with the crowd that's coming. Mm.
They must have been undercover on Sunday, though, because I drove around Downing's a few times on the beach and around Downing's, and I didn't see a single police vehicle, guard vehicle, or a member of An Garda Síochána. Now, I may have missed them. But I certainly didn't see them. And speaking to local business owners as well, they were of the view that they were overwhelmed. They simply couldn't handle it. They just tried to handle it as best as they possibly could. But it was either try and do that or shut up shop. And sure, it's one of the busiest weekends of the year. You couldn't expect them to do that.
No, it's definitely, you couldn't expect. Like, the businesses around here are generally set up to deal with a fairly low level of tourism, you know, not the high volumes that we've seen over the weekend. It's just, it was impossible. That was like a festival in Letterkenny or something back in the 1990s, you know, the people were just standing end to end. Apparently, some places in the town, there was just like, somebody said, it felt like there's 1,000 people queuing outside trying to get in. And, you know, that's unheard of in this part of the world.
You called the guards. What was that experience?
Well, I was told that they would try and come round and see what was happening. Mm. But what we had was, we had a lot of young people in the car park below the house, and they were drinking, playing loud music, smashing bottles. And, you know, it was just it was just a whole evening of noise. And then they came back then at night after being over to town, and it was something similar, not as bad, but it was something similar again.
And did you see the guards? What did you see in terms of policing, or what's your views in relation to that?
Well, we'd seen a lot of Garda presence earlier on in the day, but towards the evening we didn't see as much. But we did hear that there was three boy racers arrested on the road down at the pier.
Yeah.
So
I mean, I mean, at one point there was cars going up and down the beach with, you know, must have been four or five people on top, another three or four hanging out the windows. Right, Declan Meehan's been waiting patiently here because I know, Declan, I just wanted to get an overview sort of from Oliver on the ground. Obviously, you're a rep for that area and will have received an awful lot of communication in relation to it. What's your overview? What's your takeaway from what we've been seeing here?
Well, look, Greg, I think that how bad things were in Downing's this weekend can't be overstated. And I think the number one priority here are the residents that have to carry the burden of this over the course of the weekend, but also for the cleanup operation afterwards. You know, we know the GA Club and Tidy Towns are organising a cleanup this evening. But, you know, the state of the place is just disgraceful. I was contacted a lot over the course of Saturday and in the aftermath of Friday night by people, business people and residents in Downing's and again on Sunday. And I had made several representations to the Gardaí. I was speaking to the sergeant in Milford. I was speaking to Milford Garda Station a number of times, and I was also speaking to the chief superintendent about it. I was also in contact with the council in relation to the barrier being closed onto the beach, and there was an agreement to do that on Saturday at 6:30 and again on Sunday. But I think the horse had bolted at that stage and it wasn't safe to do so or advisable for them to actually go ahead with that. Greg, I think realistically the issue here is the Gardaí didn't have sufficient resources in place to conduct a proper policing operation. And that is very evident from what happened over the course of the weekend, not just in Downing's, but particularly in Downing's. We have seen very, very successful policing operations in this county, most notably over the course of the Donegal Rally, where the council and the Gardaí work hand in hand to very successfully police a major event. Now, my understanding from speaking to the guards is that the weekend of the 12th of July is not recognised as a major event in County Donegal, and so additional resources are not as readily available. And that is the first thing that needs to change here. We have a huge increase in the population of this county over that holiday weekend in the north, resulting in lots and lots and lots of people coming into the county and, you know, absolutely hugely expanding the population of many towns. And the best example or worst example, whatever way you want to look at it, of that is Downing's, unfortunately. There were countless calls, I'm sure, put into Milford Garda Station. And I know because people have contacted me to say that they were putting those calls in relation to public order offences of every single sort. I mean, they range from public urination to potential drink driving to physical assaults that were taking place over the course of the weekend. And the Gardaí simply did not have the resources in place to respond
to
that.
Should it not have been the case, though? And I ask this question understanding, actually, the challenges facing on Garda Síochána, but I still have to ask the questions. I'm not their spokesperson either. But it just feels to me like if this was anywhere else, you know, you'd get a paddy wagon or whatever they're called. I'm not sure if that's appropriate or not. 12 guards onto the beach all night policing it, you know, or getting the cars off the beach, saying you have to clear this area and closing the gate then. Instead, we had the situation, and if it would almost be funny if it wasn't so serious, where ambulances are getting bogged on the beach because the people on the beach haven't been cleared from it, and they're whatever's happening to them, be it drink or drugs or whatever it might be, I don't know. We have ambulances stuck on the beach when they should be out helping people.
you know, we can't just say, oh, the cars are on the beach, you can't close the barrier. Get the cars off the beach. And if they won't pull the cars off the beach, start pulling the cars off the beach and say, this is a space that you cannot park here, especially with the illegal activity that's going and the state that the beach has been left in. And it feels, again, like we're closing the gate after the horse has bolted, yet actually we never got to close the gate at all.
Yeah, absolutely, Greg. And look, on Saturday morning and into afternoon, that was, I suppose, what I was liaising with the Gardaí and the council over, was exactly that sort of operation to clear the beach, get people off the beach on Saturday, and then close the gate. That didn't go ahead. I haven't received clarity directly from either of them why that didn't happen.
Well, there was two guards. But ultimately, it
seems to have come down to a resource issue. What I would say as well, Greg, is exactly what you're saying there. But, you know, Rally Weekend was very successfully policed in Downings, and the message was put out that Downings Beach would not be open for people to gather, young people to gather, to have their parties, to spend the night, to rally, to do everything that they did this weekend. And that message went out that the beach would be closed and that there would be Garda presence in the town. And as a result, there was a very successful Rally Weekend in Downings compared to previous years. But there was no foresight at all put into this particular weekend. And that's what we need to change going forward. There needs to be open lines of communication now in the direct aftermath of this weekend between the council, guards and representatives of the town, including the town team, which is recently set up, and the businesses, to ensure that this doesn't happen again over the August bank holidays.
Yep.
Because that is the fear now in Downings, that this will happen in the first or last weekend of August again, as it had happened on a smaller scale previously.
We're talking about an unprecedented weekend in Downings, and I'm not saying that myself. I'm saying that from people that have spoken to me and said they've never seen the likes of it before. And whilst we're talking about Downings, there's a lot of other places. It's been Buncrana Pier previously. It's been Rosnella, right? So this is if there's a solution to this, it's a solution that could be employed wherever problems may occur into the future. It's not about targeting one particular area as such. But Oliver McBride, as someone living in the area, is it time to ban cars from that beach altogether? But the obvious secondary part to that question is there's no parking, right? There's no parking as such. But would you, as a local, be in favour of cars being banned all of the time?
Listen, it's a difficult question to answer because, yes, as you say, there's no parking. When people come to enjoy the beach, they've nowhere else to take their car. And I really do think that, you know, in a situation like this, the county council and the Gardaí has to get together with the local residents. And there should be an investigation or an inquiry into why this has happened. And then the lessons can be learned, and
This is going to keep happening because the younger people are organising online where to go. A lot of them know each other. This is something you better prepare for it, because this is the future, be it there or wherever it might be. And there was a mistake made, in inverted commas, last year to sort of say, right, there was going to be a beach party and a live rave and all that kind of stuff. There was forewarning. This time there wasn't. I'll come back to you, Esther. Works in Downings, and her husband also from Downings. Esther, thanks for joining us. Sorry for holding you. Your assessment of the weekend.
Hi, Greg, and morning to Declan and Oliver. I'm really delighted to hear this on the show this morning, because it was abysmal during the weekend there. I only saw the aftermath of it. But from our point of view, like, we have a lot of children's camps on those beaches, and we have a lot of children that make use of those beaches, and the way they were left, there's no regard for anyone, but especially my main focus and I suppose outrage would be for the children and the wildlife of our beautiful beaches. And it's not just Downings, it seemed to be on a larger scale. Do you know, you reported yesterday in Maharoti as well. Do you know, there was an awful lot of beaches that were treated like dumping sites, basically. And the big debate online is, oh, the bins aren't available and this isn't available and that's not available. Public decency is available. Do you know, if your bin was overflowing in your kitchen or in your front garden, you wouldn't keep adding to the problem. Do you know, this is the thing that shocked me the most. I went up to, we do litter picks on Downing's Beach quite often with our wee rookie clubs, and from Maherbeg Leisure Centre. We have a lot of wee kiddies that we teach Irish water safety to, and they would be aspiring young lifeguards, hopefully in the future. And, you know, it's so disheartening. Like, they've been in the paper a couple of days over the last couple of weeks as well, kind of boasting their you know, their catches. But our message across would be that children shouldn't have to clean up, you know, after the reckless actions of adults.
But in fairness to local authority, there are not enough bins in the county that could have dealt with the abuse. We haven't even got into, you know, purposely smashing bottles off rocks on the beach. Not accidentally, not driving over it, standing around purposely smashing rocks off. That's not acceptable behaviour. And you know what? In this instance, if it's a couple of apples in the barrel, well, you're going to have to deal with the barrel, because that's unacceptable in any modern society.
100% agree, Greg. But the other side of it is too, I do see a lot of, like, we follow a lot of pages on Instagram that make, you know, cleaning up and make kind of looking after your own environment, looking after your neighbour's environment or your beach doorstep, whatever you want to call it, trendy. So, like, could there be another thing of an incentive, you know, to go around and gather up the rubbish? Because we're here every, like, I'm sick of going. I do litter picks on my own, and I live in Runalton and basically work in Downing's, but we do litter picks, and it's relentless. It's never
but
ending.
I get where you're coming,
like,
from, Esther.
Is there any way to make it?
Well, we're trying to come up with inventive solutions to clean up after people who come down and believe that Donegal is a dumping ground. I'm not saying it's all people coming in to the area, don't get me wrong, but I don't think Maggie and Mary, who live on Main Street Downing's, are chucking bottles of Coors Light around the place either, right? So we have to be realistic about
100%.
It. So, you know, this is about how do you protect not just Downing's, Merva, Rosnaula, take your pick, any of the beaches, the pier in Buncrana, wherever you want to be. The common denominator when there are hotspots and problems is people coming in, disrespecting the area, and probably a lack of policing and enforcement.
Yes, I think the biggest thing that seems to be happening as well is it's an us versus them scenario, and I don't agree with that at all. People saying that, oh, you know, tourists coming in, they should be able to use the facilities and then dump what they want. No, that's not what happened. As you said, the council, the guards, everybody need to come together and sit down. And, like, they know this weekend happens every year. It's not changed. It's been going on forever. But the other side of it is, I think we need to appeal to young people, especially, like, the kiddos that we teach up in swim lessons and that we teach in our water safety camps and in Garten and Eco Atlantic and all our camps. We all leave no trace, and any of the beach camps or any of the surf camps, we leave no trace. So what happens from, like, they go up until 16, 17, 18 years old. Where is it that the young people are then suddenly from picking up after themselves, from looking after their environment, where is it happening that there's that disconnect, that they're just suddenly like, oh, like you say, smashing bottles, which I think is absolutely ridiculous.
They're drunk on youth and happiness and booze and whatever else, you know, and I don't think you could teach that out necessarily. Listen, Esther, thank you very much indeed. I do appreciate your input there. Councillor, and also too, I think we have to factor in that there was a layer of business on top of business in Downing's. There were many hundreds, if not thousands, of additional visitors that came of a certain age group with the knowledge that they were going to be sleeping in their cars and all that. And they were all prepped and the cars were packed and everything. So whilst we know it was going to be a busy weekend, I'm not sure, Declan, this extra layer of activity that was on top of an already busy space could have been fully predicted.
I don't know, Greg, because, you know, you speak to anyone in Downing's and they'll tell you this isn't the first year of this level of busyness. It is certainly the worst year in terms of behaviour. But I think that this has been going on now for 4 or 5 years.
You spoke not so long ago about and there's still no sign up, by the way, for half of that beach saying you can't drive there. So if people are going in there, some of it could be ignorance. I don't know. You raised that issue, not a sign in sight. But anyway, from a local authority perspective, and as a citizen of the area, I must remind myself you're not an alien that just happens to represent the area. You are from it. Is it time to ban cars from that beach altogether? And if the council have to look at a car park, so be it. I mean, you go just slightly up the road and there's a completely different demographic and atmosphere on a beach where there's no cars allowed.
Yeah, look, I mean, one of the main issues when we were setting up the town team over the past number of months, there were two public consultations done in the town of Downings itself, and parking was the number one issue. And you can see that very clearly and most acutely this weekend. People were literally blocked into their houses where they couldn't get their own cars out their own drive because of how visitors had parked in front of them or opposite them or whatever. People were actually hemmed in. So parking is the number one issue in Downings. That is something that the local authority, the council, we need to push forward to try and
solve. And it's fantastic.
That.
Listen, I get where you're coming from. I've no faith in that, though, Declan, with all due respect, because, and it's fantastic to see new businesses open, but no, very, very little additional parking.
Yeah.
Okay, so we're actually seeing things happening that are attracting more people, and it's fantastic, yeah. Right? But clearly part of the planning process is not to ensure, it doesn't form part of it to ensure there's sufficient parking. And I have to say that quite a bit out loud. So how could I have any faith that the authority are going to look at this when they're still okaying developments, and it's great to see them, don't get me wrong, but they're okaying developments with no additional parking to speak of, hardly.
Yeah, but look, that's what this process as well with the town team is, to bring those issues to the fore with the public representatives. One of the other things that I want to just say is, you correctly said that I had highlighted the issue of, you know, the pedestrian part of the beach, if you like. The bollard's been completely ineffective. I had a motion in May to have that repaired and for new signage to be erected. That hasn't been done, and that needs to be done. Because
did you get a commitment that it would be done?
I had a commitment to say it would be done, but I mean, like, getting a commitment to say it'd be done and then for a whole summer or a season to pass without that happening isn't good enough. So that's another issue that needs to be raised, and I will be. But, you know, one of the issues, one of the main complaints I got from people over the weekend was that they were down trying to enjoy the beach as local residents or people who live within the vicinity were visiting the beach in Downings, and cars were coming into the part where cars are not meant to be, and suspected drink driving of those cars during the day. So the danger to residents on that beach and the danger to visitors to that beach was extremely serious.
Well, we are lucky. We are lucky that we aren't dealing with a death in one form or other. And it is actual luck. Declan Meehan, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Look after yourself. Oliver, any final comments from you? I know there's a beach cleanup getting underway at 10 o'clock. I should mention, where is that? Because I think Declan just in passing mentioned it was this evening. Maybe there's a second one this evening, but there is a beach clean being organised there for 10 o'clock this morning. Do you know what? A lovely way to spend your morning. I know that sounds like a strange thing to say, but it would be a lovely way to spend the morning and to return that area to its natural beauty. Again, you're on the fence about blocking off the beach altogether, but I don't know what the solution is going forward, but I'll ask you, Oliver.
Well, like, I'm on the town team here, and like, as Declan says, it's something that we discussed, and like, we were trying to find where could we put a car park in the village, and really there's only one option. But even at that, with the number of tourists that was here, number of tourists and terrorists that was here, that's the best way to put it, there's no car park that would hold them. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, but if you send a message out saying, if you come here to sleep in your car on the beach, your car, you'll be fined, your car will be towed, or you'll have to drive it off. If you park blocking entranceways, your car will be towed, you will be fined. We will have Gardaí there so that if you spill bleach on people's cars, knock rear mirrors off, smash windscreens, damage, we will arrest you and put you in jail. In the absence of any of enforcement like that, I don't think it matters whether there's a car park or not, because there's no discouragement. It will still be seen as the place to go, and it's your own personal stomping ground. Most of the drink was brought in right? It wasn't even drank there. Most of the drink was brought in and whatever else was put in on top of that. So unless there's a discouragement of a threat of enforcement, nothing's going to change, even if you had a multi-story car park.
Yeah, well, you can make up as many rules as you want, but until there is proper enforcement, unfortunately, this is an issue that will grow and get out of hand. And someday, unfortunately, there will be tragic consequences coming from it.
Let's hope that that doesn't happen, but I understand where you're coming from. Thank you very much for your time. I really do appreciate it. It's been nice speaking to you. Right, so just to let you know, and I'm sure Oliver's on his way down there as well, that there is a beat. There's a meetup at the beach car park taking place this morning, and it's at 10 a.m. and you're invited to bring gloves, sturdy footwear, and bags will be provided. And they say the organisers, this is the GA club, but it's just I'm reading it from their first Facebook page. If you can spare an hour of your time, it'd make a huge difference. Liam Blaney, sorry for holding you so long, councillor. I know that you've got a big interest in this space, this area as well. And I'm sure your phone, no more than any other elected representative or no less, was busy. So what's your take on all of this, Liam?
Well, sorry, I missed your conversation this morning on it, Greg. I wasn't aware it was the conversation was taking place a short time ago there. I seen videos of the weekend drownings and the disgraceful scenes of young people down there at night time and wreaking havoc both with themselves, with the fighting, and with all the furniture down there, and that that's sitting outside, and some of the premises, and that. And the solution to it, we need a lot of more enforcement, which I've already discussed there about it. Car parking, I know it started off down the beach, and they were moved from the beach in the evening, but it moved the problem from one part to another part of the. Of the village up onto the village itself, and as I did hear you say, nobody could expect to see the amount of people that did come onto Downings over the weekend, especially young people. And yesterday morning, I think you get to see lions sleeping in cars everywhere, even the way up on around past the pier and all that as well, and tents on some of the fields and that. But a car park's not going to be the solution, but Downings needs a car park. But it's not going to be the solution to what's happening these weekends, whether it's the rally weekend, whether it's the 12th weekend, or whether it's during the festival or the bank holiday weekend, August again. That seems to be the three times at its worst in Downings. And but look, I know I hear the car park being said there, and the car park's been looked at this last couple of years. But to get a suitable car park that people don't expect to get a site for building a house on, prices for it, that's very hard to get.
Yeah, and also too, if the truth be told, Liam, you're probably talking out of town, and people drive.
Look,
go ahead, Liam.
That looks like the only option. I'm not saying that's the only option. Hopefully it's not, but it looks like the only option is go out to the edge of the town, and maybe.
You know yourself, everyone wants to be parked next to wherever they want to go. What about closing the beach, Liam? But you've identified really the times that beach probably needs to be closed. Speaking to local people, they're at the point now whereby we like the convenience of driving onto it ourselves, but if we have to sacrifice that to have this facility and to protect this facility, well then, you know, it might discourage people going there. I don't know. What's your feelings on closing the beach? There's a couple of arguments one way or other, isn't there?
Well, it seems to be if you close the beach, it moves the problem further onto the village.
Yeah.
And that's what we're seeing at the weekend there. And maybe if the word was out beforehand that the beach is going to be closed, people are not going to get down to it. Would less people come to it? I don't know. Downing seems to be a hotspot for young ones now, especially them three times a year. And if you had a car park at the edge of town and controlled, was able to control, and that's another problem, who controls it, who polices it, the people coming onto the town then from the car park and what they've with them.
As you say, you know the reputation, it is getting a reputation for younger crowd. If golfers stop landing, or the high spenders that are staying in a lot of the accommodation, if they stop coming, it could be a big problem. So they need to address it one way or other quickly. And I'm sure you and Declan Meehan will be making representations in the chamber in relation to that and outside of it. Thank you very much indeed, Councillor Liam Blaney. Sending one Garda to Downing's on Sunday, where does that blame lay? I think there was more than one. There might have been two, but I take your point. Good morning, Greg. The likes of the damage caused on the beaches the past weekend is unprecedented. We've footage of some of the culprits causing the damage. Would you like me to forward you on the video footage so you can put it up on your website? I don't have the ability to blur it at the moment, and you would need to blur it. But listen, send it in to us for research purposes. Coming up very soon, Garda Grainne Doherty will be joining us for the very latest appeals and information from An Garda Síochána here first and live on the Greg Hughes Show on Highland Radio. So stay tuned for that. As you can imagine, the phone lines are on fire with people commenting on the weekend's events. A lot of focus on Downing's, a lot of people in that area very moved by it. But it's also when you have for instance, to use Rosnaula again, for many people, Rosnaula is the beach, not just for people in Rosnaula, right? But Lahey, Ballintra, obviously Ballyshannon, you know, all around the place. So there's a lot of people that would have an interest in what they would see as their local facility outside the immediate area. Let us see what this caller had to say in relation to it. Sent us this vote, not voice.
Just mode. Mick Gallagher, Glasgow. Just think in relation to the Downing situation. If you've got people sleeping in cars and they've obviously been drunk, and you've got dozens, hundreds of people sleeping in cars, one of the threats to them is you're drunk, charge your vehicle, which is illegal. Police will come in the morning. If it's your car, you're sleeping in it and you're drunk, you're going to get done with drunk driving.
Yeah, that's a fair point. And we've actually seen that in the past where that has been the case. Thanks. And by the way, if it suits you to send in voice notes, please do. 086 60 25000. WhatsApp them in. Megan said 100% too busy. The level of antisocial behaviour was crazy. Our caravan is near the Empire Club and the noise and fighting from young ones as they left the club was far too much. There were no guards to be seen, despite the huge number of cars on the beach where we witnessed drink driving and people driving far too fast and doing donuts on a crowded beach with children. The village was left a mess. We have had our caravan in Downing's for 26 years and have never seen anything like that. If it continues again next year, I can see myself avoiding these busy weekends. And that's what I mentioned earlier on about the sense that this type of activity was unprecedented. Another caller says, in regard to the weekend problems, people should not have to put up with this. Manners are easily carried. If you can't respect an area you're visiting, you don't come. More Gardaí are needed. We haven't got enough. That's plain to see. The council needs to get its act together on so many levels. Traffic management, bin collection, parking. And if they want to misbehave, deal with it straight away. The problems will soon disappear. Another thing our council did was problems of Letterkenny traffic again yesterday. Kiltoy, Ballyrain, Remelton Road, Polestar, the four lanes, an absolute joke. You wouldn't get away with this carry-on in Downing's in any other country in the world like Spain or Australia. We need to hit these people in the pockets and find them, as that's the only way to stop them. But you see, they've headed off and the message goes out there. If you want to have crack and you don't really want to be stopped in doing so, well, head to Downing's. And if it's not Downing's, somewhere else in Donegal. That's the message that's going out. Had a fantastic time, spent nothing on accommodation, brought most of the booze and whatever with us. And we just literally had the run of the place. It was our play park. That's the message that's going out, and very little to counter it. Greg, I can't understand why you can't take your rubbish home if you take the time to pack the car before you go to the beach. Why people can't put it back into bags and take it home. Well, not only were they not taking it home, they were leaving tents behind them. They were leaving dirty clothes behind them. They were literally smashing bottles rather than actually taking them away. Hi, Greg. More money for the guards catching cars doing 63 kilometres an hour than getting sunburned in Downing's. Another typical NI crossover to Donegal. Feel a free-for-all attitude. No respect. Been like this for decades. It was like we were in Magaluf. I've never been to Magaluf, but I don't fancy it if that's what it's like. Downing's has never seen the likes of last weekend, walking around Downing's, necking wine and vodka, urinating at your doorsteps, and then getting abused if you tell them to clear, breaking into businesses, and to finish each night off with them knocking the head of each other. Hi, Greg. The amount of people will never be back in Downing's again. This is the thing. This is the elephant in the room for me. It's those that have went there with their families and, you know, maybe spent €1,200 in accommodation and the place was unusable for them. Wait till you see the reviews in relation to that. That's why I believe it's so important that people understand that whilst this, and in areas like this, you might think it's one weekend. If you're not careful, the reputational damage goes beyond that weekend. It's an absolute disgrace. These people came down to areas like Downing's and Dunfanaghy with a pure sense of entitlement and arrogance. They think that our towns and villages should be grateful and put up with all their crap, urinating in the streets and around people's houses. They're a blight. You couldn't get down Marble Hill with cars parked on both sides of the road and on corners and double yellow lines. Down Port Noblar was another mess in the evening. Some creep walking naked on the beach. Oh, my word. We deserve answers, accountability and meaningful action before the situation causes lasting damage to our community, says another listener. If anyone's at that beach cleanup, by the way, send us some pictures because the people down there deserve credit for what they're doing. It'd be a nice little thing for us to stick on our socials. So if you are at that cleanup, would you take a few pictures and let us know? Now, as I said earlier on, I'm waiting on Ishgairn to get back to me because there were water restrictions. There were water restrictions in certain areas of the county. So I've kind of asked them to collate what's going on. And they're going to join us tomorrow. They can't make it today. But what piqued my interest is there was some water restrictions because of pressure on water supplies that were issued. But they were for one night only, right? So the water would return today. And what I'm trying to find out is it for one night only? Or are you going to notify us daily of it being for that night? And that's unworkable, right? So there's also reports of people in Raphoe, Convoy, in the west of the county as well. North Donegal, the water supply is under pressure. Ross Nala has restrictions. So I want to get Ishgairn on, and for the benefit of you, the listener, to find out what is the issue here. Where are we going to see regular outages? Are we looking at overnight restrictions in many places? Are we looking at a hose pipe ban across the county like we've seen elsewhere? I know it seems crazy. I know we get a lot of rain, but I don't think really we capture that rain very well to reuse it, do we? Anyway, we've a listener wanted their say on water as well.
Hi, Greg. The reason why our water supply, our treated water supply, is so vulnerable during periods of hot weather is because Irish Water have, since its existence, completely neglected and failed to address the issue of outdated leaky pipes, which account for 40% of all water loss nationally. If they would address the leaky pipes, we wouldn't need hose pipe bans or water restrictions or touting out your neighbours or any of that stuff. So could they just deal with the real issues instead of, you know, giving themselves bonuses for doing literally nothing?
You want to send in your voice notes? 086 60 25,000. Often it can suit you. And there's a number of reasons why. Maybe you don't have the time to get your phone out and text. Maybe, and many people struggle with writing as well too, which is everyone should have equal access to the airwaves. So for whatever reason it is, right, feel free to send in your voice notes and we can listen and play them out, or we can dictate them or whatever it might be. But get your voice notes into us as well. It's a fantastic resource for you to get your voice out there. And we had Mick earlier on and we had that caller there as well. Right, the World Cup. A caller says, and they've thought about this, read the World Cup. I'd love to see France win the World Cup in honour of the 250th anniversary of France gifting the Statue of Liberty to the US. And to win the World Cup on US soil would be a payback. Okay, there you go. I live in Buncrana and the Shorefront Festival was on at the weekend. Cars were parked everywhere, people's driveways, double yellow lines. If there was an emergency, a house fire or medical emergency, no vehicle would be able to get through. The same's happening in Shrove. Again, residents are sick of this. God forbid there was a house fire, you wouldn't get to them. The Gardaí need to have a tow truck to take away vehicles and put it in a compound. Is it time that we farmed that out? I mean, I know this is controversial, but we do it with the Go Safe vans. Is it time
that if the guards can't do it, that an independent company do it on behalf of Garda Síochána? Is that the way it's at now? I hate extra enforcement. I hate layers of sort of top down sort of, not policing, but you know what I mean, an overreach. But people have to be able to live their lives and get in and out of their homes and be able to enjoy their local facilities and be able to get to them. Greg, as the traffic was stuck on the dual carriageway on Friday evening, backed up to the Manor roundabout, drivers are taking to the hard shoulder now, driving at 60 or 70 or 80 even more. Wow. On the issue of water, good morning, Greg. Will data centres be turned off to save water if there are in any of those areas with the hose pipe ban? There's a little bit of, in terms of how data centres are cooled in this country, some of them use water. A lot of it is recirculated and some actually air cool. Data centres are a big, big problem in terms of electricity usage. I'm on the internet all the time, so you know you need data centres. My understanding is, and I can dig a little bit deep into you, they're not a massive, massive drain on the water supply, the same as you might see, in terms of our power. They take a quarter of the power, some of them cool themselves down using different systems. They're not literally, it's like swimming pools of water going into every data centre all of the time.
The Community Garda information slot is brought to you by Sheridan Security Systems, monitoring homes and businesses in the Northwest for intruder, fire, panic and medical signals. Call Sheridan Security on 91-26025.
This is Community Garda information for Tuesday, the 14th of July, and we say good morning to Garda Grainne Doherty up from Letterkenny Garda Station. Grainne, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for having me, Greg.
Appreciated. Right, now let's start with some appeals and a road traffic collision being investigated.
Yes, Garda are investigating a road traffic collision involving two vehicles, so a Jeep and a quad. This occurred on Sunday, the 12th of July, in and around 7:10 p.m. at Maharorty, Falkara. The quads believed to have been travelling on the main road between Maharorty and towards Mean Lara when the collision with this Jeep occurred. The driver of the quad was taken to Letterkenny University Hospital to receive medical treatment for non-life-threatening injuries. We're appealing to anybody who might have travelled along that stretch of road between 7 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. on that date with a dash cam to make that footage available to us. Of course, if anybody witnessed this collision, we're also asking them to contact Gardaí in Ballyshannon on 071-985-8530.
Now, a burglary in Letterkenny being investigated.
Yes, this burglary occurred between 9 a.m. on Wednesday the 8th of July and midday on Thursday the 9th of July at Gartner Corrib, Letterkenny. So a house in that area was targeted. It was entered between those times via an unlocked front door. A Honda generator was stolen from within the house. Damage was also caused to the door handles on both the driver's and passenger side of a parked van at the property, but entry to the van wasn't gained. So we're appealing to anybody who may have observed any type of suspicious activity, people or vehicles in that area between those times, to contact Gardaí in Milford on 915-3060. And this goes for all of our appeals today. The Garda confidential line also on 1800-666-111.
Do you want to remind us about the confidential line and how that works, Grainne? Because we do get calls when it's mentioned, just to what happens or what does it mean?
It's just really like a basic answering service. You know, when you call somebody and they don't answer and you speak after the beep, that's what happens. When you ring the Garda confidential lines, you don't know, there's no obligation on you to leave any of your own personal details.
Okay, right. Now, an assault in Buncrana being investigated.
Yes, we're seeking witnesses in connection with an alleged assault. This was only recently reported to us. This incident occurred on Saturday the 4th of July at around 11:30 p.m. in the area of Melbrae, Buncrana. So a man was walking back to his accommodation when he was allegedly attacked by a group of 4 to 5 males. He sustained injuries, none of which are life-threatening in nature. And we're appealing to anybody who might have witnessed this incident to contact Gardaí in Buncrana on 932-0540. If anybody was in that area with a dash cam between 11 p.m. and midnight on that date, we're asking them please also to make that footage available to us.
All right, OK. Now on to the theft of a vehicle in Lifford.
Yeah, Gardaí are investigating the theft of a vehicle, a blue Kia registration number BVZ6021, from the Station Road, Lifford, in the early hours of Friday the 10th of July. So as part of this investigation, we're appealing to anybody who might have travelled within the Jenner Lifford area with a dash cam between 1 a.m. and 2:30 a.m. on that date, early that morning, to make that footage available to us. If anybody can assist with any information in relation to the current location of this stolen vehicle, we're asking them to contact Gardaí in Letterkenny on 91-67-100.
Right. Now, we're talking about scams and advice now. And
the reason these come up is because obviously you have access to activity, right? So, you know, what scams are people falling for? What's trending in terms of that type of stuff? So that's why, as part of the Community Guard information item, this is important because it's what's active now. So if it hopefully can help people not get caught with it. So what are you seeing at the moment, Grainne?
Yeah, and unfortunately, people are, you know, they're continuing to come into the station to report that they have been caught out by various types of scams. There's too many different types of scams to, you know, to go through each example. But and many of these scams are quite sophisticated and it can be easy to get caught out by them. So just remember, if it seems too good to be true, then it most likely is. So I'll give you an example just of a few types of scams that have been reported within Donegal in recent months, and we just want to create awareness amongst the public, you know, to prevent anybody else falling victim to them. So bogus traders, callers, we speak about this quite often on the show. They call to doors offering various types of work, such as tarmacking, power washing, etc. They then provide a very abysmal, a very poor service and often seek additional excessive cash payments when the work's complete or maybe halfway through the work. This type of crime is mainly targeted towards older and more vulnerable victims who often live alone. So our advice is, please do not engage with these types of callers. Don't open your door to anybody unless you're confident that they're known to you or that they have a genuine reason to be there. Use a chain lock for added security, and these callers can be quite intimidating and they often refuse to take no for an answer. So contact us, contact Gardaí immediately if you encounter such a caller. Try your very best to give us as much information as possible. Have a peek out through the blind, see can you get a look at their van, their jeep, whatever they're travelling in. Take note of the registration number, a description of the person, and maybe the direction of the travel. If they went out your gate, did they turn left, right? You know, that's all vital information for us. And we're asking people also, please be very vigilant when out and about and always report suspicious people or vehicles to us immediately. I think some people, they do feel, you know, times they think, ah, it was nothing, I'll not bother, and it's a bit silly, I'll feel silly. Don't ever feel silly,
now,
you know.
Like, I know the chain is it's as old as time, but it's very effective. But, you know, for anyone, no matter how technical they are or not, providing they get someone to set them up, get yourself a video doorbell.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
And there's the Ring ones are out there and they can be expensive, though they're not terribly expensive. But there are other EasyViz make them. There's loads of other people that make them. If someone presses your doorbell, you get a phone like a Skype call, hit the green thing and you can see and speak to the person there.
Yeah.
And you decide. Now, I'm not saying people should lock themselves in their own homes, but you know if it's going to be someone that you know that'll approach the house in a different way, right? So you don't even open the door. Get the Ring cam or get your parents one if they live alone or whatever, whoever the person might be. And they push the button and then you can have a conversation with them through the doorbell and you can see them on your phone.
Yeah, and many of our crimes have been solved through the use of, you know, people were good enough to come in and give us their doorbell footage. And especially just an incident that comes to mind in recent months was in, I think it was the Donegal town area, and maybe, you know, there was people going around trying doors of cars in a housing estate. And those video doorbell cameras, I suppose they're discreet. The people don't realise that they're there a lot of the time and they're invaluable to us.
Of course, and it just, I'll tell you, it just means that whomever is ringing the doorbell, if they're trying to obscure their face or whatever, you know something's up, right?
Yeah.
But also, too, if you're not there, your phone will ring wherever you are.
It'll notify you.
So, you know what I mean? So you can answer your phone wherever. You could be sunning up in Spain for crying out loud. But also, too, what they do is they automatically detect movement as well.
Yeah.
You don't have to subscribe. The one I have, the receiver's plugged into the wall. It's got a SIM card in it, and I can access that SIM card from wherever I am. And as I say, I know the chain is the first line of defence. But in this day and age, you know, you're not talking €800.
No, they're relatively inexpensive.
Exactly. And as I say, they're an extra level of security, even just in case. You're not there and something is going on. But all good advice, and the critical advice there that you heard from Grainne, you're not bothering Gardaí. You know, call them and say, this seemed a little bit sus. Get their reg, get a description, etc. Because it is actionable information. Right. I think you've mentioned everything. No, actually, there's other scams going around.
There's a few other ones, and I'll run through them quickly.
People
just
pretending to be me.
People And asking for money.
That's what,
that's the next one now. Actually, well, you're a local celebrity.
No, I'm not. But my account does get copied, and people try and extort people. Yeah. I mean, I'm not Daniel O'Donnell or Nathan Carter, but it does happen because maybe it's they trust me or something along those lines. I don't know.
Yeah, and you do see celebrities sometimes posting to their own social media, warning people that they're aware that there is a fake page set up. You know, people are being contacted just to let people know that it's not them.
Like, and Nathan Carter had a fan in Britain, and they took tens of thousands of euro off them, and I think he described them as vulnerable. He was on this show, but they worked, the scammer worked on them, was going, look, I can't say this publicly, you know, like I'm a celebrity and people would think this, that and then, to the point whereby the person believed they were helping Nathan Carter out of a sticky situation.
Yeah, and more often than not, they do target the vulnerable. You know, they do. And we actually
We all have our vulnerabilities. You know, I got done on tech. My vulnerability is cheap tech. Yeah. And I got done by someone pretending to be Lidl and sent 70 quid off and never saw it again.
Yeah.
So, you know,
can happen to anybody.
We all have our vulnerabilities or where we can sort of get exposed in. And some of us are, you know, generally vulnerable as well. So, and I think the celebrity side of things is a bit cheeky. So what have you seen?
Yeah, well, we have actually. The reason I included this one is I'm aware of a recent incident that was reported to us, and it was a vulnerable member of the community, you know, that fell victim to this type of scam. So instances whereby people have been contacted by celebrity impersonators, really. They're, you know, they're scam artists, criminals, but they're pretending to be a celebrity. They request money from their victims, and they use often AI-generated images then to add credibility. So vulnerable members of the public may be particularly susceptible to falling victim to this type of scam. So we're just asking people, be vigilant. Maybe if you have somebody who is more vulnerable in your family, and that's not to say, look, anybody could fall victim to this, but just speak to your family. You know, talk about scams and the various types of scams regularly at home would be the best advice, really. You know, that make it a common topic of conversation.
Because for a lot of people as well, too, their connection to the outside world can be their phone.
Yeah, that might be the only connection to the outside world that some people have. Yeah.
Okay. Now, investment frauds. Again, you know, this is, if it's too good to be true, I don't know there's any scenario whereby anyone should ever have unsolicited contact to invest their money. I mean, I would say don't even try and verify. I would just say ignore any of it, to be honest. If you see it on social media, any investment opportunities, you contact it. Personally, for me, blanket ignore.
Yeah, and unfortunately, going from the figures, you know, I've been going through Pulse, looking up incidents each week for the radio slot, and unfortunately, quite a large cohort of people have fallen victim to this. So investment fraud. So the victim will be offered the opportunity to invest their funds with the promise, of course, that they'll soon be reaping massive rewards from that investment. And this will be portrayed, as you said, as a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. So our advice is never invest your money anywhere without seeking genuine advice from a professional.
You know, sit down in front of someone. You want to look at the white of their eyes. This is your money. You've probably spent your whole life gathering up whatever it might be. Do not invest it in anything unless, this is my advice, you're sitting in front of someone.
Exactly.
Personally, I wouldn't risk it any other way.
No, someone who's reputable too, who can give you sound advice, sound legal advice. Don't ever hand over your money.
And the realities of that investment, you can lose your investment as well, no matter how reputable they are too. So just be careful of all of that. Concert tickets and events. I'm really quite confused about the reselling market. If you can actually legally buy tickets secondhand, can you transfer them? Perhaps you can. We're not getting into that. But the bottom line is, you know, it's again, in a way, tapping into our love of celebrities, right? Because you're desperate to go and see whomever it might be. A lot of fraud, or much fraud, I should say, around concerts, ticket sales, exchanging of that, tickets never arriving, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah, and this is quite common also. So tickets to concert and events, and listen, this is probably particularly appropriate to mention this week with the All-Ireland final coming up. You know, they're going to be such sought-after tickets for the All-Ireland final. But big concerts, big sporting events, anything like that. So members of the public are offered highly sought-after tickets to these types of events at much reduced prices often. And then once this money's transferred, the seller cuts off all contact. Their line will go dead. You'll not hear from them and the tickets never materialise. So we're just advising everybody, please don't ever buy tickets from somebody that you don't know advertising them online. Buy your tickets from a reputable source or from somebody that you know and trust. If it's a family member or somebody like that that you know.
Some of them I wouldn't trust either, but I take the wider point you're trying to make. Now, the Temu tax means that, as it's being called, a new customs charge, that obviously this is being exploited. Bottom line is, and you can reiterate this, you're never sent a payment link from either OnPost or any of those companies for that matter.
No. And I mean, this type of scam has been on the go for a long time. But with the new customs charges that have just come in, we're just wary, you know, that these types of scams may start up again and we don't want anyone falling victim to them. So if you ever get a message or an email that a company is going to withhold the goods, say maybe until you pay this customs fee, and if they send you a link, please do not click on that link. Don't ever click on links contained in unsolicited text messages or emails. And it's quite possible that you would owe, you know, you could owe a customs charge. That's likely.
Oh, yeah.
And you are waiting on items to arrive. But if you ever receive a message or an email with a link requesting payment, don't click on the link. Contact the seller directly and ask them, was this correspondence from them?
For some reason, Amazon pre-charge, custom charge, if some reason I'm getting a lot of refunds from Amazon, like for 14 cent and 22 cent and all this kind of stuff, I'm getting an email a day effectively. It would be very easy for a scammer to say, look, we actually have a larger refund from you. Could you give us our bank details because we can't transfer this? Do you know what I mean? So there's always ways around that. Okay, so really, listen, don't click in links and emails or texts. Now, the problem is on post, sometimes you have to click through to get onto their official website. But anyway, we're not going to get into that. Don't pay via those links. That's
no.
All
well, I know I did get an email at one stage, and I was due packages, so you know about a customs charge. Now, often I had seen the scam messages coming through from on the genuine and post thread of messages that I have. You know, with the link, I didn't click on the links, but I got a message one day from Impost to say that a customs fee was owed, which was correct. A customs fee was owed, but it told me within the message to go to the Impost website. Yeah.
And to put
my order number in there. You know,
And Amazon, for an example, they pre-charge the customs, so if you get it off them. Right, quads, mopeds, etc. Scramblers, I presume you can chuck in there as well. Gran, you were seeing quite a bit of misuse of these types of vehicles, and it can be quite, it is dangerous and it can cost lives.
Yeah, and in particular quads. You know, we're seeing a lot of quads, young people in particular out in quads in the good weather, out in the back roads, out in rural areas particularly. So Buncrana Gardaí seized a moped and a quad from a number of youths on the night of Wednesday, the 8th of July at Bunnagee Pier in Kildaff. So we just want to issue some advice in relation to these types of machines. So petrol-powered mopeds are legally classified as MPVs. That's mechanically propelled vehicles. They have to be treated exactly the same as motorcycles by law. So to ride one legally, you have to be at least 16, hold an appropriate driving licence and have a valid motor tax and insurance. Quads are powerful machines. They have the potential to severely or even fatally injure someone. And we have seen instances of that in the past involving quads. So when a quad's used in a public road, they're subject to the same rules as any other MPV. They have to be registered, taxed and in a good roadworthy condition. The driver has to hold the appropriate driving licence and they have to also be insured to drive that vehicle. So look, the last thing, the very last thing we want is to have to call to any parents' home with bad news. And so we're asking parents and guardians to please speak to their young people in relation to the many dangers associated with the use of this type of machinery, quads, bikes, mopeds. Also ensure that they're aware of the law surrounding the use of this type of machinery also.
Yeah. Right, now, there's an awful lot I could ask your higher ups, but I can't because you're a rank and file and got member of Angadashi Kana, right? So it's not appropriate for me to be asking you questions about some of the earlier conversations, but I can ask you going forward, and that's quite simply because there are Gardaí within the force that make these decisions or are familiar with resources and etc., not Garda Grania. But you can give advice about the use and abuse of our more scenic areas going forward, because as I say, you know, as far out as they can see with any reliability, this weather's sticking about.
Yeah, there's no sign of this weather leaving us, and it's been with us now. How long has it been with us now? About a week and a half, and there's no sign of it ending, thankfully. And the beaches and the many scenic areas within Donegal have seen a lot of footfall over the past number of days, and it's brilliant. It's great to see people out enjoying the good weather, but look, there have been issues. No point saying there haven't. There's been a lot of issues over the weekend in many of our beach coastal areas across Donegal. And we just want to appeal to the public, please, when you're parking up, we understand you're excited. It's a hot day. You want to get to the beach as quickly as possible and park as close to the beach as you can. But we're asking everybody, please ensure that you've parked in a responsible manner. You know, if you're blocking access for emergency vehicles or any other type of vehicle, please move your vehicle to another location. If you block access for any of the emergency services, you could be putting lives at risk. And in an emergency, every second really does
count. Again, I think one thing in relation to that, like, I know there are people who, if they have to respond to an incident, will shift the car. The getting to the casualties, the priority. So, you know, that's that as well.
You shouldn't have been parked there in the first place. The size of some of these emergency vehicles, such as the fire service, for example, on some of these roads, that wouldn't have been possible just for them to get through. And we're asking people, please don't park on double yellow lines or in any other prohibited area. Just look simple, have consideration for the local residents of the area, for other motorists and for pedestrians. Obstruction is an offence under road traffic legislation, and your vehicle is liable to be towed away if parked illegally or if causing an obstruction, and then you'd be subject to an impound fee also. So please think before you park. I'm aware that there was a number of vehicles seized yesterday over at Shrove. We're just asking everybody, please have a bit of consideration. But common sense, boils down to common sense, really. Everybody, keep in mind that everybody wants to go to the beach and everybody wants to park as close that they can, you know. But just think, you could be costing someone their life. It could, you know, it's that serious, really. So we're asking everybody, look, enjoy the remainder of the hot spell and be responsible. And we hope that everybody stays safe.
Thank you very much indeed. Garda Grán Uí Dé Háirithe there from Letterkenny Garda Station. We'll be back with Community Garda information after the 10 o'clock news again next Tuesday. If you missed any of that it's going to be on our podcast from 11:30 on the website, and you can watch it back a little later on ours and on Garda Síochána's Facebook pages. The HSE's annual report for 2025 shows that under 25s accounted for almost half of all presentations at the sexual assault treatment units. There was a 5% rise in the number of attendants to sexual assault treatment units last year. The Health Service's annual report for 25 also revealed that under 25s accounted, as I mentioned, for almost half of all presentations at the units. Right. There are six units, Dublin, Cork, Waterford, Mullingar, Galway and Letterkenny. Professor Maeve Egan is the HSE's National Clinical Lead for Sexual Assault Treatment Unit, SATU. Thanks for joining us, Professor. I do appreciate your time.
You're very welcome, Greg.
Right. So if you don't mind, we'll focus on Donegal, and maybe then we can take a look at the national picture. But some of the increases, and unfortunately we're talking about increases of attendees in Donegal.
Yeah. I mean, across the board, four of the sexual assault units in the country identified an increase in number of attendances in 2025 compared with the previous year. Now, we don't always take that as a bad sign. Obviously, it's always a bad sign if anyone needs to attend a sexual assault unit, but equally it's important that people know services exist and do reach out. And certainly traditionally, there would have either been an absence of service or people may have been more likely to tell nobody when something happened them. So sometimes the fact that people are reaching out can be viewed, some elements of that can be viewed in a positive way. And certainly the numbers both in Dublin and in Letterkenny increased almost to the same amount by 11.5%, 12%. And that shows, you know, sexual violence hasn't gone away. As a society, we have to continue to talk about it, to call it out when we see it, teaching our, you know, children and young people not to be bystanders if they see bad behaviour, to call it out, to tell an adult, to tell someone else, and not allow their peers, to exercise bad behaviour against somebody. And of course, we can see throughout society, it's not just young people. You know, there is no element of society, there is no part of the world that has solved sexual violence. And we do need to work together to try and mitigate this.
Now, pardon my ignorance, but I mean, obviously with the rape crisis services, you know, sometimes that can be historic, sometimes it can be within hours. In relation to those attending sexual assault treatment units, is it generally in the immediate aftermath of a sexual assault, or can it also be historic? Or
I suppose that's how the service has evolved, to provide care immediately after an incident, to take the DNA evidence if it was necessary, to give emergency contraception, to give preventative treatment for infectious diseases. But actually, as the services have become established, and Dublin and Donegal were the first services, as they've become established, they've actually pivoted to provide what the service needs. So, for example, in Donegal, not everybody who came was having DNA evidence. In fact, quite a significant proportion of those who came to the Donegal sexual assault unit were people where the incident had happened more than a month ago. And they were people who were coming for support and for care to be linked with. We work very closely with our allied rape crisis centres. So to be linked with the rape crisis centres, but also to have, for example, screening for infectious diseases to make sure nothing physical has been contracted in the course of that. And to, you know, be linked with the appropriate resources. So, for example, having a cervical smear test, they may not have wanted to go to their GP or their practice nurse for that because they might not want to have disclosed what happened to them in the past. But coming to the sexual assault unit and having that done in an environment where the nurses and especially trained nurses are very expert in looking after people who've experienced sexual violence, that kind of level of holistic care may be more important for some people. So I suppose the message is that the services exist. If you're a survivor of sexual violence, they may be relevant to you or they may not be. The information on services exists at hse.ie/SATU. People can reach out to their nearest sexual assault unit, even just to have a call with somebody to see if there's something that might be relevant for them there.
Now, the figures do sort of maybe account to some extent about a difference between an increase in instances versus an increase in awareness. So, as you mentioned, a significant rise in instances reported after 1 month, 13% in 24, 43% in 2025. But there was also a very big increase, was there not, in those that contacted Dedekenny SATU, SATU, very soon after an assault or an alleged assault.
Absolutely. And I suppose that's the important thing. The services are there for the people who need them at the time they need them. And sometimes somebody may contact us early and may end up not actually coming into the unit or may not end up reporting to the guards. But there is no statute of limitations on sexual crime. There's no time beyond which you absolutely can't attend a sexual assault unit or you can't go to a Garda station and report an incident of sexual violence. So, you know, there's not a time limit on that. Certainly, if DNA evidence is going to be relevant for the incident, coming early to the unit is the best thing you can do. But even if you haven't come to the unit early, that's okay. Equally, people used to often come to us early because they wanted emergency contraception. Now, because of the free contraception scheme, people can sometimes access that easier without coming to a sexual assault unit. But the services are there aiming to respond to what people need at the time.
Yeah. And again, you know, obviously, if there is evidence to be gathered, it's important that you do attend. But as you've pointed out, Maeve, this doesn't necessarily mean that all of a sudden you're in a process. You know,
absolutely.
You go there, you have that, and then you can work with SATU, you can work through the Rape Crisis Service and decide what you're going to do. But in the first instance, obviously, to gather evidence that you might require into the future, these people are here to help in any way that you want them to help, not to necessarily insist that you do anything and not to insist you do anything at all, actually, not necessarily.
And equally with the police, with An Garda Síochána, you know, even if somebody reports an incident today to An Garda Síochána, ends up coming to the sexual assault unit, has DNA evidence, the guards commence the detection of that crime. And ultimately the person says, you know what, I don't want to go down that route anymore. There are specially trained guards now who'll work with the person to work out what's right for them too. So certainly, yeah, it's really important, and you're very right what you say there. This isn't a conveyor belt that people get on and they can't get off. There are many entry points and exit points, and the service is very much aimed to be compassionate to what a person needs.
20 people that you seen were aged 14 to 17. Four were aged under 16. I'm not sure if four make up that part of that 20 or if it's an additional four. But obviously there is that. In fact, I think the total is 20. Obviously, as well as doing what you need to do as well, all those cases referred to Tusla.
Yeah, and it's really important that we exercise our child protection obligations for anybody who's a child or a vulnerable adult who's experienced sexual violence. But again, it doesn't mean that there's sort of an automatic, a 17-year-old comes and there's some automatic TUSLA investigation, or, you know, people are going to be, you know, paraded somewhere as having experienced sexual violence. This is all done in order to serve the person best. So there will be, we fulfill our child protection responsibilities to TUSLA. There will be investigations as relevant. And it's important that we continue to speak about this. You know, it used to be that discussions about sexual violence only happened when people went to university or college, because it was figured, you know, they were safe from that when they were under 18. That's not the case. And in fact, there's work out today about pornography and how early children see pornography. So it's really important that we just start these discussions about sexual violence early in, you know, in primary school and early secondary school, and people are kept safe. And as I say, equally that we, you know, have sort of bystander interventions so that other kids call it out when they see bad behaviour.
Maeve, is it fair for me to ask what you draw from these figures? It's horrendous that this happens at all. It's horrendous when we see any increases, but of course some of that increase is about people not living with this for their adult life, but seeking help and maybe, you know, working through it. So I know there's an awful lot in there, but either locally or nationally, Maeve, you know, what are these figures, do you think, telling us?
I mean, these figures very much show us that we have not resolved sexual violence. You know, no matter how much we talk about it, no matter how many, you know, radio interviews or, you know, public health awareness campaigns, we have not resolved this. There is still a very significant issue about sexual violence, and we need to continue to talk about it, and we need to mainstream these conversations so we don't just have them in school and then people go home and never talk about it with their parents. You know, we need to have these discussions about sexual safety throughout life, and you know, really make it important for people to be able to push back and to support each other to keep each other safe. And it's really valuable to have these discussions, but equally it's also important to be aware that we haven't solved the problem, and we need to continue to fight together as a whole of society to try and mitigate the impact of sexual violence and ultimately to really reduce that.
Yeah, okay. Okay. Listen, thank you very much for your time. Do you have the numbers to hand? I'm conscious that...
So I suppose the important thing is hse.ie/SATU in terms of the SATU resources. In terms of resources for people around the country, alwayshere.ie is a website run by Cuan, the statutory agency, that's really good. It gives a county by county breakdown in terms of sexual assault services, rape crisis services, domestic violence services. So that's really good as well.
Okay. Listen, thank you for your time. I really do appreciate it. Look after yourself. Right. Now, that was Professor Maeve Egan there. So it's horrible to see those increases. But again, maybe sometimes people are seeking help where they might not have ordinarily. We've talked about the situation in Downings and elsewhere. Just a wee picture for those of you who are watching of, it seems like dozens of people out there with their pickers. It's a glorious day. It's great to see the beach free of cars for the most part, but there are some people out there enjoying the water and others out there doing the cleanup, and those are local people looking after their local facility. And what they need is the authorities to back them up on that and to ensure that they don't have to go out and do that again. Listen, there's fantastic tidy towns in Downings, Carrigart, Letterkenny, they're amazing, Dunfanaghy, Buncrana, Carndonagh, wherever you go, local people looking after their area. But that's to pick up incidental rubbish. We don't need them having to go out and do what they're doing now, a major, major clear-up. And hopefully they're all safe and wearing gloves with the glass that's knocking about. But I have no doubt they're going to have that place looking absolutely beautiful again for those of you who wish to go down in the not-too-distant future. And as I say, just like all of these areas, you know, don't allow it to discourage you from going to them, because what we did see was a weekend unprecedented in many areas. And we're not talking about it to discourage people. We're talking about it because, you know, it needs to not happen again. 99 times out of 100, these are lovely, beautiful, clean, safe places for you to go. Right, we'll be back with you tomorrow morning at 9 a.m.